Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome. Oh, Tunkashila, Wakantaka, Namakawan, Betula, Inio, Wazio, Blackintilla. Okuchi, Yellow, Waanta, I'm a blazer, yo. Miwaka Pataha, Wayang, Namajio. Takataku, Wolakani, Waniri, Blackintilla. Okuchi, Yellow, Waanta, I'm a blazer, yo. Miwaka Pataha, Wayang, Namajio. Echecha ki tokata oina ji wa hauta ni piktanu e. Welcome.
Also, we shouldn't have done that. What if he's... We cannot sit there. ready to give the to make an announcement. He's on his way. Conference offices. Could you ask conference offices come to me? Yeah. Я тоже ничего не знаю, я понял. Скажи им, чтобы они мне дали слово для объявления, для быстрого. I apologize, we should have taken a little bit longer with the drum. Yeah, you will be able to stand.
Right here?
Right here, yeah. We're not going to do any podiums. I'm on? Hello? Yes, thank you. Dear delegates, I just wanted to make a short announcement. We had a wonderful opening ceremony, and we are going now. We're waiting for our chairman to arrive, and now we can start. Thank you very much.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished members of the forum, Your Excellency Secretary General, distinguished delegates, observers, and friends, ladies and gentlemen, with great pleasure and honor, I now declare open the 9th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. It is a special pleasure to extend a warm welcome to all of you on behalf of the Department of Economic and Social Affairs of the United Nations. According to the tradition of the indigenous people, an indigenous elder addresses the opening meeting and offers words of blessings to the session. I now invite Todo Daho Sithil of the Onondaga Nation to deliver his message.
Da hun siger også, der kan dukke. Nej, jeg har sådan gået op i net, sådan gået i disse, og så er nogen gået i hotte. Nej, nej, har det ikke, du er nogen gået, der gør, skal der ned, end nogen dækker. Nå, gå ind, hvor de er der, ned gør noget hen. I det, når jeg gør, hun dækker op til nogen, og gør det godt, og ned, og hen, der gør, hvor det er. Men der er nok gået her. Tony von Dahl, der Tony von Tetsi, der er et skænd og ejt, hvor nok du er nu her. Der er nok gået her. Ni de unge gået, der gør, unge gået, og sig ned, tone, et skade, hvor du er, hvor ni går her. I den var de efter, den var det nu her, der er nødt til dit, når jeg tænker nogle gange går her. Der er hun her til at have en jat af det, når jeg ikke til noget her, det er til noget henkvar. Til noget her, en tvær sit sagt, når jeg ikke undgår det igen har sagt. Til noget, de undgår ikke har det, når jeg undgår det går her og stak vi. Men der er nødt til at tage et gøje, så undgår de hvert en dæft, de sagt, når ni sagt går vi hundre. Men der er nødt til, hvad det er nu, ja, skader hen, du har en gang det går her, og det er til noget her, det er til noget her, så er hun jat af det, der er nødt til dit, når jeg tænker nogle gange går her. Dan han er tog, og jeg tror sig net, hvad jeg vil gøre ikke. Nej, net, du kan dit du nu, net, hvad du vil gøre sig ikke. Nej, net, en gang hvad nu, en gang hvad de ender, nej, en gang til nu, hen jo de ender. Nej, en gang hvad jeg nu, skal nogen til nu, du nu. Det gør jeg, hvad de er, net, hvor du kan være, nej, net, og du kan tage, nej, hvad du er, nej, net, hvad han tænker. Nej, dit, hvad du vil så nu, så er sådan helt, så du kan tage, så så går det nu. Men der er nej, dit, hvad du er nu, ja, skal det hen, du er, hvad du går her. Hvad de er tænker her, net, hvad du har gået sig ikke, der er net til dit, når jeg tænker, du har gået sig her. Der er net til, hvad jeg tror sig, net, hvad du har hun ikke, ni har hun der sig, de også var. Der er net net til gøre nu, net, hvad du har gået sig ikke. At gøre jo, når de er net, gode på vandet, der er net, og hvad der er net, gode på vandet. Og gøre nu, den skal det ind i, så de er jo en vej, og den der er der i hattet. Så skal jeg net, når jeg kan hende, at jeg har hattet. Nej, nej, han er ikke kun efter, når han går til at gøre en jakkedos. Nej, det var det, så nu, så er så helt sæt, hvad godt for, når du en dag kan have gået hen her. Men der er nej, det var det nu, ja, skade han var en gang, går her, og det er tina han, nej, det var hun, der er nødt til det, når jeg tænkte nogle gange, går her. Der er nej, det var en trossig, nej, hvad det var her, ikke? Nej, det var den din, hvor jeg nu er den, når jeg hentede det kakke. Nej, nej, han er ikke kun, ja, han er ikke kun efter, når han går til at gøre en jakkedos. Det gør jo, når de er nødt til at gå vand. Og han er det kakke, når de går vand. Og når de er det, så er det så helt sæt, hvad kan tage sig på han i ordet. Og der er når de, hvad det er nu, ja, skader han dvare, hvad de går her, hvad de er tina her, det er her, det er nødt til det, når jeg tænker, hvad de går her. Der er nødt til at gå ind i det, når de er nødt til at gå ind i det, så kan han dvare nu. Nej, nej, det har ikke gået, hun er i stak, og det har de ikke nødt. Nej, nej, og hun er der svjøste, og har de ikke det nødt. Nej, det har gået ned, og der har de ikke det nødt, og hun er gået der. Det gør jo nødt, og de er nødt til at gå vand. Nej, her er nødt til at gå vand. Og der er nødt til at gå vand. Og der er nødt til at gå vand. Skal det hen, du har gået her? Og det er tænker her, at kun de er, der er nødt til at gå vand. Der er nødt til at gå vand. To så godt gør ikke kunde jo, det gør nej nej, det kunde jeg du under. Nej nej, kunde det nu under så ungår nu var jeg her der. Nej nej, kunde var ni os, nå var kunde var nede. Nej nej, og ne går her ne, at se hvor den jo var der under, at jo det er der, at se hvor den hænger. Nej, skænder han så nok du nu, og når han så tun der har, så ne kunde var ni os, nå var kunde var nede. Det gør jo nå og der ne går og går an. Nej nej, nej her ne. Skal jeg ene, når jeg tog igen i grund i det, så er nivå til igen godt her. Når jeg dit, hvor du er sådan, så er sådan et tid, hvor jeg hænger, på åbne i grund i det, nu er det. Da når jeg dit, hvor du er nu, ja, skal det hende, hvor jeg går, når jeg går her, og det er tænder her, når jeg grund i det, når jeg ikke grund i det, du er der. Da når jeg dit, når jeg tænker, når jeg går, når jeg går her. Da når jeg tog hodt gav ind i åbne i grund, når jeg tog åbne gitt gav. Tog jeg nu her, der den jo, tog jeg hjulet den jo. To o kahne kainu nai o ne kanya tayo. To o kahne kainu ne kahne kovunis. Nai to hakwa ne don do hakwa ne skena on tuan of tuan ya tuna a huen chage en dun gwa da wae ye. Nai di do wa sonya za asun kaya ne to ne kit kasa. Da nai di wa dwa denu ya skada hen tuan gwa ne goha. O ti et tino hen ne o ne gonos. Da ne to di ne o tiktong gwa ne goha. Da na. Så går en tvæn ind i den hækkui. Nej, nej, hun kan jo jo stakkui. Nej, nej, og den der er der har der, så er hun tjade. Og nej, en tjunko hænju, nej, 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 at se, at så du nja, nej, den hækkui. Nai hawai hawen jage indun saha konen dan su na ha he. To no hanju gok takwa sa nu tok nak ti sai. Nai ya yade to dok takwa. When the day ni wasun the day to hosati hadi ne kana wen kwasa. Nai ya sungo das yosne ne don goi home ne sungo awi ne ane ad te wa. Nai ti do do wasun yo. So asong sungo na wen kwa. And da nai ti wad wad no ya. Skada hendwan gwa ne go ha. What said what no hair, Nick Gain here, gay Hanag, and it soon go at this side. Down it to deep, Neo Dickmongo, Nigoha. Down it to a new and again, what got deep, what queen, and Nick Gana Hand. Down it. And it was over, or that won't go, you talk with, and come and dad. Down it.
I thank Todo Daho Sidhil for the ceremonial welcome to the ninth session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers and friends, ladies and gentlemen, as acting chair of this session, I'm particularly happy on behalf of members of the forum to extend a warm welcome to His Excellency, the Secretary General, Mr. Ban Ki-moon. Of the United Nations. Secretary General, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished elders, distinguished representatives of indigenous people's organizations, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. It is my great pleasure to welcome you to the ninth session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Many of you have traveled long distances to be here today, and I thank you very much. Indigenous peoples often live in the most isolated places on Earth, from the Arctic to the African savannah. But the United Nations is working to make sure that indigenous people themselves are not isolated. You have a unique place in the global community. You are full and equal members of the United Nations family. And we will continue to support and protect your human rights and fundamental freedoms and your right to pursue social and economic development. I attach great importance to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, which was adopted in September 2007. In that landmark document, UN member states and indigenous peoples sought to reconcile with their painful histories and resolved to move forward together towards human rights, justice, and development for all. I congratulate you once again on this achievement. Ladies and gentlemen, we have made significant progress on indigenous peoples' issues at the United Nations over the past 40 years. Apart from the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, other notable achievements include the establishment of this permanent forum, the mandate of the Special Rapporteur, and the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous Peoples. Indigenous issues are more prominent on the international agenda than ever before. And yet, we cannot even begin to be content with our progress. The first ever United Nations report on the state of the world's indigenous peoples in January set out some alarming statistics. Indigenous peoples suffer high levels of poverty, health problems, crime, and human rights abuses all over the world. You make up some 5% of the world's population, but one-third of the world's poorest. In some countries, an indigenous person is 600 times more likely to contract tuberculosis than the general population. In others, an indigenous child can expect to die 20 years earlier than his non-native compatriots. Every day, indigenous communities face issues of violence, brutality, and dispossession. Indigenous cultures languages, and ways of life are under constant threat from climate change, armed conflict, lack of educational opportunities, and discrimination. Elsewhere, your cultures are being distorted, commodified, and used to generate profits which do not benefit indigenous people and can even lead to harm. This is not only a tragedy for indigenous peoples. It is a tragedy for the whole world. Slowly but surely, people are coming to understand that the well-being and sustainability of indigenous peoples are matters that concern us all. Diversity is strength in cultures and in languages, just as it is in ecosystems. The loss of irreplaceable cultural practices and means of artistic expression makes us all poorer wherever our roots may lie. According to a current forecast, 90% of all languages could disappear within 100 years. The loss of these languages erodes an essential component of a group's identity. That is why the special theme of your forum this year, Development with Culture and Identity, is particularly appropriate. It highlights the need to craft policy measures that promote development while respecting indigenous peoples' values and traditions. We need development that is underpinned by the values of reciprocity, solidarity, and collectivity. And we need development that allows indigenous peoples to exercise their right to self-determination through participation in decision-making on an equal basis. Ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations will continue to support you. I call on all governments, indigenous peoples, the UN system, and all other partners to ensure that the vision behind the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples becomes a reality for all. I wish you a very successful forum, and thank you very much.
I thank Secretary General for his statement.
And I would like to give
floor to who? Now.
You know, I'm hesitating because His Excellency the President of the General Assembly is on his way.
Shall we proceed?
No? I suggest that
I will wait.
So while waiting His Excellency, the PGA,
for just a couple of minutes,
we will...
And in the meantime...
In the meantime, we'll go ahead.
In the meantime, you can...
We can go ahead. With the election?
Go ahead with the election.
He's up here 5 minutes.
So, distinguished members of the forum, distinguished delegates, while waiting for His Excellency the PGA, we shall now proceed to the first item on the agenda, the election of the chairperson for this session. I now give floor to Ms. Toya Cornella Fritschner.
Yes, right,
madam, you have floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and very warm greetings. It is my distinct pleasure and my distinct honor to bring forward to you our decision by the members of the Permanent Forum, our choice for chairman for the 9th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. We made our decision in Bolivia during the month of March. Our pre-sessional meeting was hosted very generously by the government of Bolivia, and this is where we made our choice by acclamation. And as Chief Sid Hill mentioned earlier, Now our minds are one and we are brought together, and the members of the permanent forum feel secure that our brother will continue to bring that message of keeping our minds together and our hearts together as we proceed with the ninth session of the permanent forum. By acclamation, Mr. Chairman, it is my honor to bring forward to you our choice for chairperson for the ninth session of the permanent forum, Mr. Carlos Mamami. Mr. Mamami. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thank Ms. Toya Cornelia Fritchner for the nomination of Mr. Carlos Mamanani Kondari as the chairman for the ninth session of Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Is he there?
Yeah.
I would like to suspend the deliberation of the agenda first at item one for the time being for a while, and while inviting His Excellency the President of the General Assembly. On behalf of the forum members, let me extend warm welcome to His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly, Mr. Chiki. Now I have the honor to give floor to His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly.
Thank you.
You have floor, sir.
Thank you. سيادة الأمين العام السيد الرئيس المنتدى أعضاء المنتدى الدائم الموقرون زعماء وممثلو الشعوب الأصلية أيها السيدات والسادة إنه شرف كبير أن أدعى إلى التحدث في حفل افتتاح الدورة التاسعة للمنتدى الدائم المعني بقضايا الشعوب الأصلية ويشرفني عظيم الشرف أن أرى هذا الحشد من ممثل الشعوب الأصلية هنا في قاعة الجمعية العامة في الأمم المتحدة. إن الموضوع الخاص الذي تتمحور حوله الدورة التاسعة للمنتدى الدائم وهو التنمية في ظل الثقافة والهوية المادتان 3 و23 من إعلان الأمم المتحدة بشأن حقوق الشعوب الأصلية يعد ذلك موضوعا جوهريا يستند إليه في التحليل وفي تحقيق التغييرات اللازمة للشعوب الأصلية. ويكفل إعلان الأمم المتحدة بشأن حقوق الشعوب الأصلية مشاركة هذه الشعوب في العمليات الإنمائية بصورة كاملة وفاعلة بما في ذلك التشاور معها عند وضع البرامج والسياسات الإنمائية. لقد عانت الشعوب الأصلية من نتائج ما لحق بها من ظلم على مر التاريخ بما في ذلك وقوعها تحت الاستعمار وتجريدها من أراضيها ومواردها وممارسة القمع والتمييز ضدها. واليوم لا تزال الكثير من الشعوب الأصلية تعاني من الفقر والاستبداد وتحرم من التمتع بحقها في التنمية. ولقد حان الوقت كي ننظر فيها فيما ولدته الحداثة والتصنيع من أثر على النظم الاجتماعية والثقافية للشعوب الأصلية وعلى مواردها الطبيعية. ومن الممكن تعزيز التنمية في ظل الثقافة والهوية من خلال التعاون الصادق بين الدول وهيئات الأمم المتحدة والشعوب الأصلية والمنظمات غير الحكومية والوسط الأكاديمي. وإذا قام هذا التعاون على أساس من النوايا الطيبة فإنه سيعود بالنفع حتماً، لا من أجل تمكين الشعوب الأصلية وثقافاتها فحسب، بل لإثراء المجتمع والبيئة بنطاقهما العريض والتأثير فيها بصورة إيجابية. وختاماً أود أن أثني على المنتدى الدائم المعني بقضايا الشعوب الأصلية لجمعه بين ممثل الشعوب الأصلية والدول الأعضاء ووكالات الأمم المتحدة والالتزامه المتواصل بحقوق الشعوب الأصلية. وأتمنى لكم التوفيق والسداد في أعمال دورتكم التاسعة وشكرا لكم. Thank you.
I thank His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly, for his statement. Now, can we suspend for a few minutes, and the Secretary General will depart. Dear forum members, let us resume our consideration of the first item on the agenda, the election of the chairperson for this session. Now, I have the honor to give the floor to Bartolome Clavero Salvado. So, Mr. Salvado, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I second the nomination of Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori for the incoming presidency of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues.
May I take it that it is the wish of members of the Permanent Forum to elect Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori as the chairman for the ninth session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues by acclamation. It is so decided. Now, I wish to extend my warmest congratulations to Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori on his election. I'm confident that he will guide this session of the forum to a successful conclusion. Before I invite Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori to take over the proceedings of session, I would like to thank Ms. Victoria Tuli Corpus for her leading role as chairperson of the previous session of the forum. Her contribution into the work of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is highly commendable. Thank you.
Before the next, I think. Yeah, of course, yes, I've already.
Now, I have the honor to invite our Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori, the chair of the ninth session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, to take over the chair.
Okay. Then I have to leave you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your company. Thank you.
system I...
No, Philippe Chairperson, you start speaking Spanish. You're here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is... yeah, you do this.
Mm-hmm. Primero or...
Mm-hmm. Primero, primero.
Entonces el micrófono.
Yep. You start speaking and
yeah.
Right from here, you read from here.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Quisiera dar las gracias al señor Xia Shukang, secretario general adjunto del Departamento de Asuntos Económicos Sociales, por haber declarado abierto el periodo de sesiones. Antes de comenzar, me gustaría dar las gracias a los miembros del Foro Permanente por haberme elegido presidente del noveno periodo de sesiones del Foro Permanente para las Cuestiones Indígenas. Distinguidos miembros del Foro, procederemos ahora a abordar algunas cuestiones de organización relativas a este periodo de sesiones. También quisiera, antes de empezar con este periodo de sesiones, decirles unas palabras. Su Excelencia Dr. Ali Abdusalam Trekki, presidente de la Asamblea General, señor Ban Ki-moon, secretario general, Su Excelencia el embajador Hamidun Ali, presidente del Consejo Económico y Social, señor Xia Shukang, subsecretario general del Departamento de Asuntos Económicos y Sociales, distinguidos miembros del Foro Permanente sobre Cuestiones Indígenas, distinguidos observadores de los Estados miembros, organizaciones de los pueblos indígenas, organizaciones intergubernamentales, organizaciones no gubernamentales, academia, medios de comunicación, hermanos y hermanas, indígenas, jóvenes, indígenas, indígenas parlamentarios. Nayata queja sintiaskiura hichuro tajener aruntaña, kitinakate collasuyo, abiayala oxatutapje hilatanaka cuyacanacaro. Es un placer para mí darles la más cordial bienvenida a la novena sesión del Foro Permanente. Primeramente me gustaría honrar a la nación y a los pueblos Onondaga, en particular al señor Tadodawa Sil Hil, jefe tradicional de la nación Onondaga, habitantes originales de estas tierras, y también agradecerles por recibirnos nuevamente en esta sede. Expreso mi profunda gratitud a los miembros del Foro Permanente por la confianza que me han demostrado al elegirme como presidente durante su novena sesión. Al respecto, manifiesto mi compromiso de hacer todo lo posible para el desarrollo de una sesión exitosa. También quisiera aprovechar esta oportunidad para expresar a nombre de todos mis colegas nuestro más profundo agradecimiento, aprecio y admiración a nuestra hermana Victoria Tauli Corpus, quien presidió el Foro Permanente de la manera más efectiva, mostrando un gran liderazgo y compromiso. Y también a la hermana Elizabeth Stamatopoulos, que con su comprometida dedicación ha apoyado nuestro trabajo durante los años que tiene el Foro Permanente. El tema especial del Foro para este año es Pueblos Indígenas, Desarrollo con Cultura e Identidad, artículos 3 y 32 de la Declaración de las Naciones Unidas sobre los Derechos de los Pueblos Indígenas, el cual representa una excelente oportunidad para los pueblos indígenas, gobiernos, sistemas de Naciones Unidas y sociedad civil de discutir el significado del término desarrollo con el añadido de cultura e identidad, que se expresa en conceptos del pensamiento indígena como vivir bien y la reconstitución de sus modelos de vida. Estos conceptos se diferencian de los modelos de desarrollo actuales Espero que obtengamos el mayor provecho posible de esta oportunidad durante las siguientes 2 semanas. Aprovecho para enfatizar mi agradecimiento al gobierno de mi país, Bolivia, por haber sido sede del encuentro presesional que se realizó durante los días 17 y 18 de marzo en La Paz y en el lago Titicaca, y en especial al ministro David Choquehuanca, que nos recibió en su comunidad. Este encuentro nos permitió realizar los preparativos necesarios para esta sesión y para evaluar nuestras actividades en la sesión privada. Previo. A la reunión asistieron la mayoría de los miembros del foro, a quienes también agradezco. Me gustaría señalar que gracias a la iniciativa del presidente Evo Morales y contando con el apoyo de más de 50 países, la Asamblea General de las Naciones Unidas designó el 22 de abril como el Día Internacional de la Madre Tierra, mismo que estaremos celebrando el jueves de la semana en curso. Los pueblos indígenas consideramos que la tierra es nuestra madre y posee derechos. Históricamente hemos confirmado una y otra vez nuestro compromiso con esta visión del mundo. Entonces, los pueblos indígenas estamos abocados a promover a la madre tierra y sus derechos en foros nacionales e internacionales. En estos días que el cambio climático es uno de los principales temas en la agenda internacional, la relación y el respeto de los pueblos indígenas hacia la naturaleza puede ser un ejemplo de cómo enfrentar este reto global. Permítanme ahora comentar sobre algunos de los temas que se discutirán durante las 2 próximas semanas. En enero de este año, el Foro Permanente sostuvo una reunión de expertos sobre el tema Pueblos Indígenas, Desarrollo con Cultura e Identidad, artículos 3 y 32 de la Declaración de las Naciones Unidas sobre los derechos de los pueblos indígenas. El taller fue organizado por la Secretaría del Foro Permanente, en el que participaron varios de sus miembros, expertos indígenas de las distintas regiones del mundo, estados, agencias del Sistema de Naciones Unidas, organizaciones de pueblos indígenas y organizaciones no gubernamentales. El grupo de expertos adoptó por consenso diversas conclusiones y recomendaciones cuyo contenido es muy importante para la discusión de esta sesión. El reporte de este taller se encuentra disponible como parte de los documentos de discusión para esta sesión. Debo mencionar que uno de los objetivos del segundo Decenio Internacional de los Pueblos Indígenas del Mundo es redefinir el desarrollo a partir de una visión de equidad y en una forma culturalmente apropiado, desarrollo con identidad. Existen diversas convenciones e instrumentos de Naciones Unidas enfocados en los derechos humanos y su relación con el desarrollo. Por ejemplo, el convenio número 169 de la Organización Internacional del Trabajo ha establecido el derecho de los pueblos a decidir sus propias prioridades para el proceso de desarrollo, puesto que esta afecta sus vidas, creencias, instituciones y bienestar espiritual, así como ejercer control en la medida de lo posible sobre su propia economía y desarrollo social y cultural. En efecto, la Declaración de las Naciones Unidas sobre los Derechos de los Pueblos Indígenas garantiza la completa y efectiva participación en el proceso del desarrollo, incluyendo consultas en las políticas y los programas de desarrollo que los afectan. Esperamos que esta sesión demuestre que el desarrollo con cultura e identidad no solo es benéfica a los pueblos indígenas, sino también a todos los pueblos que enfrentan la globalización y la crisis económica. Permítanme señalar algunos de los eventos que tendrán lugar en esta sesión bajo el tema de derechos humanos. El foro sostendrá un diálogo con los gobiernos de Bolivia y el Paraguay, con la participación de pueblos indígenas y de equipos de país de las Naciones Unidas, en seguimiento a la visita realizada el año pasado para examinar la situación del pueblo indígena guaraní en la región del Chaco. La visita y la discusión es un importante precedente para abrir las puertas a diálogos similares en el futuro. Como es tradición, en esta sesión se llevará a cabo un activo diálogo con el profesor James Anaya, relator especial sobre la situación de los derechos humanos y libertades fundamentales de los indígenas, y con la señora Jani Lassimbang, quien actualmente preside el mecanismo de expertos sobre los derechos de los pueblos indígenas. Para continuar fortaleciendo la cooperación con las agencias de Naciones Unidas, el foro sostendrá un diálogo con el secretariado del Convenio sobre Diversidad Biológica. Espero que los representantes indígenas también participen en este diálogo, puesto que, como sabemos, el secretario sobre el Convenio sobre Diversidad Biológica realiza un trabajo importante con nuestros pueblos. Este año el foro permanente sostendrá un mediodía de discusión sobre la región de América del Norte, incluyendo Canadá y Estados Unidos, la cual permitirá un mayor entendimiento sobre cómo enfrentar los retos en esta región. La siguiente semana se destinará mediodía de discusiones sobre los pueblos indígenas y los bosques. Este tema se encuentra directamente relacionado con los artículos 3 y 32 de la Declaración, toda vez que las políticas sobre los bosques afectan a los derechos de los pueblos indígenas y sus comunidades. Estos son algunos de los temas que serán cubiertos durante la sesión. Contamos con una agenda muy rica, llena de actividades, incluyendo diversos eventos paralelos y culturales que incluirán, entre otros, la presentación de la película Avatar por parte de su director, el señor James Cameron. Finalmente, me gustaría reiterar mis agradecimientos a mis colegas del Foro Permanente por su dedicado trabajo durante el año pasado y por involucrarse en varios procesos a nivel nacional, regional e internacional para facilitar la implementación de las recomendaciones del foro y difundir las preocupaciones de los asuntos importantes para los pueblos indígenas. Todos ustedes han sido excelentes colegas, lo cual nos ha permitido desempeñar adecuadamente nuestro mandato. También me gustaría agradecer a la Secretaría del Foro Permanente, que ha trabajado sin descanso no únicamente en la preparación de la sesión, sino también ha mantenido la llama encendida entre cada una de ellas. Agradezco a los representantes de las organizaciones y naciones indígenas, los gobiernos, los miembros del Grupo de Apoyo Interagencial sobre Pueblos Indígenas y a las organizaciones no gubernamentales, quienes de la misma manera han colaborado en impulsar la implementación de las recomendaciones y la Declaración sobre los Derechos de los Pueblos Indígenas. Finalmente, quisiera honrar a mis hermanos indígenas del mundo que trabajan intensamente por hacer realidad sus derechos, algunas veces sacrificando sus propias vidas en esta lucha, en particular a aquellos que ya no están con nosotros, pero cuyo legado ha permitido que contemos con espacios como este. Colaboremos juntos para hacer de esta sesión significativa y productiva para todos los pueblos indígenas. Muchas gracias.
A partir de aquí se retoma el trabajo. ¿Ya? Tienes que empezar. Solo empieza a leer.
Propongo ahora a los miembros del foro permanente a que procedan a aprobar el programa provisional del noveno periodo de sesiones que figura en el documento E-C-19-2010-1. ¿Desea alguien hacer alguna observación sobre el programa que figura en el documento? Entiendo que el programa provisional resulta aceptable para todos los miembros del foro. ¿Queda aprobado el programa del noveno periodo de sesiones? Seguidamente, entonces, procederemos ahora a la elección de otros miembros de la mesa para el presente periodo de sesiones. Entiendo que tras la celebración de consultas oficiosas se proponen a los siguientes miembros como vicepresidentes: señor Hassan Id Balcazam, señor Bartolomé Clavero, Salvador, señor Michael Dodson y señora Tonia Gonella Frichner. La señora Paimane es propuesta como relatora. Debo considerar que los miembros del foro desean elegir a los candidatos como vicepresidente y relatora por aclamación. Entonces, así queda acordado. Desearía felicitar ahora al señor Hassan Iqbal Qassam, al señor Bartolomé Clavero, al señor Michael Dodson y a la señora Tonia Gonella Frichner por su elección como vicepresidentes y a la señora Paimane Aste para su elección como relatora. Invito ahora a la relatora, señora Paimane Aste, a que ocupe su lugar en el estrado.
Shall he proceed?
Entonces, ahora, ¿a quién le doy palabra al señor? Doy la palabra al excelentísimo señor Hamidón Ali, presidente del Consejo. Disculpe. Disculpen, doy ahora la palabra al excelentísimo señor Shah Sukang, secretario general adjunto del Departamento de Asuntos Económicos y Sociales. Señor Shah Sukang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished representatives of member states, indigenous peoples, organizations and non-governmental organizations, distinguished representative of the United Nations system and other intergovernmental organizations, Mr. Ahmad Djoglaf, Executive Secretary of the Secretariat of the Convention on Biological Diversity, my friend, and distinguished elders, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you all to the ninth session of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. We meet at a time when the United Nations, indigenous peoples, and our member states have achieved extraordinary progress. These include the establishment of the Permanent Forum itself, the 2007 adoption of a UN Declaration on the Rights of the Indigenous Peoples, the establishment of a special rapporteur role which focuses on human rights abuses, and the creation of the expert mechanism on the rights of indigenous peoples. I welcome the ever-growing engagement of member states in the Permanent Forum. This year, 15 member states have submitted voluntary reports on indigenous issues to the forum, a record number. In recent years, the forum has influenced the agenda of other organizations, United Nations agencies, international financial institutions, and other organizations have developed guidelines, policies, and safeguards that recognize and support the needs of indigenous peoples. This ripple effect across organizations is testament to the ability of the forum to change awareness levels and prompt actions on indigenous issues. The United Nations has brought global attention to these issues through two international decades on the world's indigenous peoples. The resulting commemorations and the public information activities have increased awareness levels and educated millions of people. We are reaching the midway point of the second decade. We will mark that milestone with a midterm report by the Secretary General that evaluates the progress made towards achieving the civil, economic, cultural, political, and social rights of indigenous peoples. Ladies and gentlemen, in spite of these remarkable advances, we must recognize that the situations of indigenous peoples in many parts of the world are critical. They continue to suffer from prejudice and marginalization, and they are subject to disproportionate and extreme poverty. Moreover, we have seen that some development efforts have damaged rather than improved their well-being. In many cases, their land rights, traditional sources of knowledge, and cultural priorities have not even been recognized, much less respected and incorporated into development plans. For this reason, the forum will focus this year on how the culture and identity of indigenous peoples can be integrated into development agendas and practices. Distinguished representatives, it is not only indigenous peoples but society at large that loses out when development approaches ignore values, customs, and ancient practices. Indigenous peoples have a great deal to reteach us. Their natural resource management system, for example, are ecologically sustainable. Their lifestyles and habits result in low-carbon economies. We can learn from these techniques and bring them to the attention of environmental specialists and to the general population. Indeed, as we face a lingering global economic crisis, which has exacerbated the effects of climate change, it is crucial that we consider alternative ways of preserving our environment. During this session, I urge you to thoroughly investigate the ways in which other visions and perspectives of indigenous peoples can become central to international, regional, national, and local development agendas. How can agricultural technology work with ancient farming practices? How can governments and health organizations expand services to indigenous peoples and respect their spiritual practices at the same time? In your discussions of these topics, please also focus on how the voices of women and youth can be incorporated in meaningful ways. Their inclusion will benefit not only their societies, but the larger societies that surround them. Article 3 and 32 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples should inform your work. Article 3 states their right to self-determine their political status and their pursuit of economic, social, culture development. Article 32 states their right to self-determine how their lands, water, minerals, and other resources will be used. How can these articles be used to inspire and empower indigenous peoples? How can they help protect the cultures and traditions of people with a long history of discrimination and oppression? Your guidance, expertise, and collaboration are needed in answering these questions. May I remind you to work with an awareness of internationally agreed development goals, especially the Millennium Development Goals. They should form the backdrop of your consultations and your recommendations. As you know, there will be a summit on the MDGs in September of this year, and so your input at this time is critical. Before concluding, allow me to say a few words on the process of Permanent Forum. I wish to commend its new methodology of holding in-depth dialogue with UN agencies. This year's dialogue will engage the Secretariat of the Convention on Biological Diversity. It will provide forum members and observers the opportunity to learn more about its work with indigenous peoples and how it can be further strengthened. The forum will also hold dialogues with the governments of Bolivia and Paraguay about the conditions faced by indigenous peoples of Chaco region. These dialogues mark the forum's first in-depth discussions with member states based on voluntary reports from them. I hope these talks will be productive and prove useful for future sessions. I would also like to thank the government of Plurinational State of Bolivia for hosting the pre-sessional meeting of the Permanent Forum last month. We are very grateful for your support. Many thanks also to the member states who have made contribution to the trust fund of the Permanent Forum in 2009. Algeria, Bolivia, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Cyprus, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, Madagascar, Mexico, and Norway. Mr. Chairman, distinguished members of the forum, ladies and gentlemen, the work of the Permanent Forum is invaluable. It brings together on the global stage all the key players that can effect change for indigenous peoples. Indigenous representatives themselves, member states, the United Nations system, other intergovernmental organizations, non-governmental organizations. The forum gives voices to people who in many cases would be otherwise voiceless. May you maximize this ninth session by sharing best practices and strategize on new alternative development models that not only protect but incorporate the knowledge and the wisdom of indigenous cultures. I wish you every success at this year's session of the Permanent Forum, and I thank you in advance for your hard work and dedication in the coming weeks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Agradezco su palabra, señor secretario general adjunto Shad Shukan, y tomaremos dos minutos para que el jefe de la Nación Onondaga, Saidi Hill, pueda retirarse.
Temporalmente.
Si quieres levantarte para que te quede.
Agradeciendo nuevamente la declaración del señor secretario general adjunto Xia Shukang, vamos a dar la palabra al excelentísimo señor Hamed Dugalaf, secretario ejecutivo de la Secretaría del Convenio sobre la Diversidad Biológica. Señor, tiene usted la palabra.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and let me congratulate you upon your well-deserved election of this important meeting, and through you, the government of Bolivia, for having taken the initiative, as you reminded us, of declaring the 22nd of April the International Mother Earth Day, which we will all be celebrating for the first time this week. 22nd of May is also the International Day on Biodiversity, and the 22nd of April, celebration of the International Mother Earth, is a unique opportunity to celebrate nature and to celebrate the relation between nature and culture. The work of your forum is at the core of the activities of the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity. It is at the core of its three objectives: conservation, sustainable use, and access and benefit sharing. The United Nations Declaration on the Right of Indigenous People is also at the core of its activities, and including, of course, Article 3 and 32. We have our forum dealing with the biodiversity and the need to protect the knowledge and the tradition and the know-how of indigenous people and its Article 8J committee, meeting every year. And the last meeting in November with more than 600 participants was a landmark meeting. And the multi-year program of work has been adopted, focusing on the custodiary approach to sustainable use of biodiversity. We have our secretariat, led by Mr. John Scott here, an indigenous person, your representative in the UN system. We have also our financial mechanism, a voluntary contribution thanks to the donor to assist and contribute to the participation of indigenous people to our meetings. And the last contribution was a meeting held in Cali, thanks to Spain, in order to allow the indigenous people to voice their concern and their position on a key legal instrument which will be adopted in Nagoya, the International Protocol on Access and Benefit Sharing, where I think will be a tremendous contribution to the implementation of the objective of your declaration and the mandate of your committee, and including Article 3 and 32. The philosopher, French philosopher Michel Serres said, and I quote, regarding the relation between nature and culture and the cultural diversity and biological diversity, that they are the basis of an oral contract of mutual obligation, the breaking of which has their consequences for all of humanity. And I think this is what is at stake today. On the 10th of May, the Secretariat will be issuing the Global Biodiversity Outlook, the State of Biodiversity in 2010. It is based on 120 national reports received by government. And we expect, thanks to the contribution of Japan, that the 193 parties will submit their national report on biodiversity in 2010. And the report demonstrates that we are losing biodiversity at unprecedented rate. And today, rate of extension is 1,000 times higher than the natural rate of extension. And this has consequences for each and every individual on Earth, each and every citizen, but those who will suffer the most are the poor. Those who will suffer the most are the most vulnerable segment of the society, including, of course, indigenous and local communities. It is for this reason that the General Assembly has declared 2010 as the International Year on Biodiversity. So your meeting today is coinciding with the celebration of the International Year on Biodiversity with the view of establishing a global partnership, a global alliance for protecting life on Earth. And this alliance cannot be established without the custodian of the knowledge and the owner of the land, the indigenous and local communities. The International Year on Biodiversity will coincide for the first time in the history of this building and the history of the UN by a heads of state meeting on 22nd of September, exclusively devoted to biodiversity. The heads of state meeting will provide a unique opportunity to the leader of the world, the 192 member states, at the level of heads of states of government, to shape what we call the post-2010 biodiversity strategy, which will include a 2050 biodiversity vision, a 2020 biodiversity target with sub-target, but also means of implementation and monitoring and evaluation, a new strategic plan for 2011-2020, which will be adopted in Nagoya, Aichi Prefecture, Japan, at the Nagoya Biodiversity Summit in October this year. This new strategy will have at its heart the relationship between culture and nature. All the government attending the meeting and parties to the convention, and hoping that by that time will be 195, with the United States of America and Andorra joining us, will be requested to implement this new strategic plan into national strategies and action plan between 2011 and 2012 before Rio Plus 20 and before the COP11, which will take place in New Delhi in October 2012, in order to translate at national level this new vision. And of course, culture and nature will be at the heart of the processes, and I am very pleased to announce that on the 9th and 10th of June this year in Montreal, at the occasion of the World Economic Forum of Montreal, there will be an international conference on culture and nature organized by the Secretariat in collaboration with UNESCO and the host government with a view of establishing a work program on cultural diversity and biological diversity, which will be submitted jointly by UNESCO and CBD to the 10,000 participants who will attend the Nagoya Biodiversity Summit. And the Nagoya Biodiversity Summit slogan is living in harmony with nature into the future. So with this, I look forward to our strengthened collaboration, the forum that we'll be having tomorrow with the leadership of Mr. John Scott will offer us a unique opportunity to work together in our common journey to Nagoya and the adoption of the new strategic plan, but most importantly, to work together for its implementation. I wish you a very successful meeting.
Agradezco al señor secretario ejecutivo su declaración y quisiera anunciar, contamos con la presencia de un invitado especial. Entonces doy la palabra al excelentísimo señor Hamidou Ali, presidente del Consejo Económico y Social. Señor Hamidou.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, excellencies and other distinguished representatives of member states, distinguished indigenous elders and distinguished representative of UN agencies and other intergovernmental organizations, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me great pleasure, and it is indeed an honor to address the 9th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I wish to convey the support of ECOSOC in the efforts made by the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues in providing expert advice and recommendations to the Council. I would especially like to highlight the importance of the efforts made by the Permanent Forum in raising awareness and providing expert advice to United Nations programs, funds and agencies to further improve the livelihoods of Indigenous people. The mutual support between ECOSOC and the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is also important in relation to the coordination function of the Council regarding the work conducted with UN agencies and specialized bodies. In this regard, I would like to take this opportunity to highlight the forthcoming annual ministerial review of the Council, where the theme will be implementing the internationally agreed goals and commitments in regard to gender equality and the empowerment of women. Given the importance that the Permanent Forum has placed on Indigenous women and the excellent work it has done in the past regarding Indigenous women's issues, I would like to forward to the Forum contributing to this year's session. I know that the theme of the third session of the Permanent Forum was Indigenous women, and that the Forum has since then made some excellent recommendations that address some of the challenges that Indigenous women face. Mr. Chairperson and distinguished members of the Forum, the first avenue by which non-governmental organizations took a role in formal UN deliberations was through the Economic and Social Council, the ECOSOC. 41 NGOs were granted consultative status by the Council in 1946. By 1992, more than 700 NGOs have attained consultative status, and the number has been steadily increasing ever since to 3,187 organizations today. There is no doubt that the sessions of the Permanent Forum are especially conducive to strengthen relations between member states, the UN system, and indigenous people organizations from all over the world. The Permanent Forum sessions are among the most attended events by civil society in the UN system, and I am encouraged to see such a well-attended meeting here today. As you all know, the Economic and Social Council will decide at the end of the month on the membership of the Permanent Forum for the term 2011 to 2013. As President of the Council, I take this task very seriously, and I look forward to the announcement of the result next week. This year's theme of Indigenous peoples' development with culture and identity is highly relevant and timely. It is an important theme not only for Indigenous peoples, but also for member states, and in particular for developing countries in the face of globalization. I look forward to following the deliberations and in reading the forum's report. To conclude, Mr. Chairperson, I would like to convey my sincere wishes for a successful 8th session of the Permanent Forum and extend my hope for the active participation of all participating member states, indigenous peoples, organizations, and UN system partners and other intergovernmental organizations. I thank you.
Agradezco al señor presidente del Consejo Económico Social su declaración. El último orador de mi lista para este segmento es el honorable doctor Pita Sharpless, ministro de Asuntos Maoríes de Nueva Zelanda. Señor, usted tiene la palabra.
Ka haere au nei ki te piki tau mataka anoa ui te toi āuru, i te pā hore hore roto Ngāti Kahungunu, ti hei wa Māori ora. E ngā mana whenua, e te iwi onongaga. Nā koutou ngā karakia i tuku ki te wāhi ngaro, kia poia i tātou tēnā koutou. E ngā mate o tēnā iwi o tēnā iwi, haere ki te okikokinga tūturu mo te tangata. E te whare o ngā iwi o te ao karangamai ki tēnei wāwai tapu mai Aotearoa ni. E te hunga ora, e ngā māngai o ngā iwi taketake o te ao, tēnā koutou. Kai te mihi au ki o koutou maunga, ki o koutou awa, ki o koutou whenua, i takea mai ai o koutou tīpuna, tainoa mai ki a koutou e huihui mai i tēnera. I hara mai au me te ngākau māhaki, ki te whakanui, ki te whakapūtanga o ngā mana o ngā iwi taketake o te ao. Kua loa te kāwanatanga o Aotearoa, e whiriwhiri ana i tēnei take, katahino ka tau te whakaaro me tautoko. Nā reira, kai te mihi atu, ki ngā rangatira, ki ngā iwi, ki ngā rōpū, i oti ai a koutou, tēnei kaupapa o te whakaputanga. Hei whakai mā ngā kāwanatanga o te ao. To the inherent powers of this land, the Onondaga people who have offered spiritual acknowledgement to the unseen world to bless us, greetings to you. To the spirits of the deceased of each and every nation, we farewell you to the ultimate resting place of humankind. To this house of the peoples of the world, I come humbly to you from New Zealand. To the living representatives of the indigenous people of the world, I salute you. I greet your mountains, your rivers, your lands, places where your ancestors originated, including you who are meeting here today. I come with humble heart to celebrate the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People. The New Zealand government has long discussed this matter and has recently decided to support it. So I salute the leaders and chiefs, the many peoples and groups who established the foundation of the declaration for assent by the governments of the world. Hei te tini, hei te mano, tēnā koutou katoa. In September 2007, the United Nations, 143 countries, voted in favour of the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. New Zealand was one of the four countries that voted against the Declaration. Today, New Zealand changes its position. We are pleased to express our support for the Declaration. In keeping with our strong commitment to human rights and Indigenous rights in particular, New Zealand now adds its support to the Declaration both as an affirmation of fundamental rights and in its expression of new and widely supported aspirations. Māori hold a distinct and special status as the indigenous people, or tangata whenua, of New Zealand. Indigenous rights and indigenous culture are of profound importance to New Zealand and fundamental to our identity as a nation. A unique feature of our constitutional arrangements is the Treaty of Waitangi, signed by representatives of the Crown and Māori in 1840. It is a founding document of New Zealand and marks the beginning of our rich cultural heritage together. The treaty establishes a foundation of partnership, mutual respect, cooperation, and good faith between Māori and the Crown. It holds great importance in our laws, our constitutional arrangements, and the work of successive governments. The Declaration contains principles that are consistent with the duties and principles inherent in the treaty, such as operating in the spirit of partnership and mutual respect. We affirm this objective and affirm the government's commitment to build and maintain constructive relationships with Māori to achieve better results for Māori, which will benefit New Zealand as a whole. The Declaration is an historic achievement, the result of many years of discussions, 22 in fact, and of hard work and perseverance by many people. Many of you are here. I acknowledge the long involvement of Māori in the elaboration of the Declaration. and the extent of their investment in its development. The Declaration acknowledges the distinctive and important status of Indigenous peoples, their common historical experiences, and the universal spirit that underpins its text. The Declaration is an affirmation of accepted international human rights and also expresses new and non-binding aspirations. In moving to support the Declaration, New Zealand both affirms those rights and reaffirms the legal and constitutional frameworks that underpin New Zealand's legal system. Those existing frameworks, while they will continue to evolve in accordance with New Zealand's domestic circumstances, define the bounds of New Zealand's engagement with the aspirational elements of the Declaration. In particular, where the Declaration sets out aspirations for rights to and restitution of traditionally held land and resources, New Zealand has, through its well-established process for resolving treaty claims, developed its own distinct approach. That approach respects the important relationship Māori, as tangata whenua, have with their lands and resources, both currently and historically, and the complementary principles of rangatiratanga and kaitiakitanga that will underpin that relationship. It also maintains and will continue to maintain the existing legal regimes for the ownership and management of land and natural resources. New Zealand acknowledges and understands the historic injustices suffered by Māori in relation to our land and resources and is committed to addressing these through the established treaty settlement process. Many Māori groups, have already benefited from the transfer of considerable land, forest, and fisheries assets through negotiated treaty settlements. Many more are in the process of negotiations with the government towards settling their claims. These settlements contribute to the re-establishment of an economic base as a platform for future development. Redress offered in the treaty settlements is, however, constrained by the need to be fair to everyone and by what the country as a whole can afford to pay. Further, where the Declaration sets out principles for Indigenous involvement in decision-making, New Zealand has developed and will continue to rely on its own distinct processes and institutions that afford opportunities to Māori for such involvement. These range from broad guarantees of participation and consultation to particular instances in which a requirement of consent is appropriate. In those processes and institutions, we acknowledge that our ongoing national dialogue is grounded in the Treaty of Waitangi. We further recognise that Māori have an interest in all policy and legislative matters, and acknowledge the determination of Māori that custom, worldviews, and cultural heritage should be reflected in the laws and policies of New Zealand. Māori have been and continue to be active in developing innovative responses to issues with a strong Indigenous perspective and engaging with successive governments on possible paths forward. We will continue that conversation within the relationship that the Treaty and New Zealand's Constitution as a whole affords. Further, we will continue to work in international fora to promote the human rights of Indigenous peoples. New Zealand acknowledges the ongoing process of dialogue and debate over the meanings that may be given to the aspirations put forward by the Declaration. New Zealand's support for the Declaration represents an opportunity to acknowledge and restate the special cultural and historical position of Māori as the original inhabitants, the tangata whenua of New Zealand. It reflects our continuing endeavours to work together to find solutions and underlines the importance of the relationship between Māori and the Crown under the Treaty of Waitangi. Its affirmation of long-standing rights supports and safeguards that ongoing relationship, and its proclamation of new aspirations gives us all encouragement and aspirations for the future. Nā reira koutou mā e hui hui mai nei tēnei rangi. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Kia ora.
Proseguimos.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Once again, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Hermanos. Agradecemos a las palabras y el anuncio del ministro doctor Pita y creo que es un ejemplo para los países que aún no acaban de adoptar la declaración, el hacerlo. Este es un gran ejemplo. Entonces,
Mis agradecimientos para el gobierno de Nueva Zelanda y también para el pueblo maorí. Vamos a continuar con el trabajo, la organización del trabajo durante las dos semanas de sesión. Distinguidos miembros del foro permanente, distinguidos observadores y amigos, voy a referirme ahora a algunas cuestiones de organización del presente periodo de sesiones. Su atención, por favor. En primer lugar, desearía señalar a su atención la organización de los trabajos propuesta en el documento E-C-19-20-10-L1. Este documento fue preparado por la Secretaría en consulta con miembros del Foro Permanente. Es una guía de referencia para el programa y para el programa de trabajo del presente periodo de sesiones. Contiene una descripción detallada día a día de nuestro programa de trabajo para la totalidad del periodo de sesiones. Me alegra que, al igual que en años anteriores, este periodo de sesiones del Foro Permanente cuente con la participación de numerosos representantes de comunidades de los pueblos indígenas. Dado el gran número de participantes, espero contar con la plena cooperación de todos ustedes a fin de que los miembros del foro puedan oír las opiniones de todos los participantes y, basándose en ellas, formular las recomendaciones pertinentes al Consejo Económico y Social. Quisiera ahora recordarles las siguientes cuestiones acerca de nuestro trabajo durante el noveno periodo de sesiones. Con respecto a la lista de oradores, seguiremos la práctica establecida en el foro en los periodos de sesiones anteriores. Aliento a los participantes a presentar a la Secretaría todas las solicitudes para formular una declaración o hacer uso de la palabra acerca de cada tema. Puesto que disponemos de un tiempo limitado respecto a cada tema sustantivo, para que todos los participantes que deseen formular declaraciones puedan hacerlo, impondré un límite de tiempo a los observadores del periodo de sesiones en función del número de oradores que figuren en mi lista. Los oradores deberán hacer declaraciones más breves y podrán facilitar a la Secretaría copias a la Secretaría copias impresas de la versión más extensa de sus declaraciones, si así lo desean, para que éstas puedan publicarse posteriormente en el sitio web. A este respecto, pido encarecidamente a los participantes que pertenecen a organizaciones de pueblos indígenas que se pongan de acuerdo para formular declaraciones de grupo consolidadas sobre los temas que son objeto del examen. Por declaraciones del grupo me refiero a los grupos de organizaciones presentes en este periodo de sesiones. Como en los periodos de sesiones anteriores, daremos prioridad a las declaraciones de agrupaciones y a las declaraciones colectivas de grupos de organizaciones presentes aquí. Como cuestión de cortesía, ruego a los participantes que hagan todas sus consultas fuera de la sala de conferencias para no perturbar las reuniones. Les comunico asimismo que no se permite entrar con alimentos o bebidas a las salas de conferencia de las Naciones Unidas. Además, está prohibido tomar fotografías o utilizar equipos de grabación de video en las salas de conferencia mientras se esté desarrollando una reunión, salvo que la persona vaya acompañado de un oficial de protocolo. Sírvanse observar las directrices establecidas siguiendo las instrucciones de los oficiales de conferencias. Muchas gracias. Vamos a dar la palabra a la Secretaría para que haga anuncios sobre nuestro trabajo.
I just was asked to make an announcement that today's event organized by the World Bank has been postponed until Tuesday, 27th April. So there will be no World Bank side event today. Thank you very much.
Hemos agotado el tiempo para esta reunión. A menos que algún miembro desee hacer uso de la palabra en este momento, propongo que se levante la sesión. Esta tarde comenzaremos nuestro debate sobre el tema 3 del programa provisional. La reunión tendrá lugar en la misma sala de conferencias, que es esta sala, y levantamos la sesión.